Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess, and today we have The Last Call. It's our weekly Thursday show where we go back and go over everything that's happened in the wrestling world, or at least the parts that make it of interest. We're going to start off on the WWE side of things today. We're going to first make a This was late last week. Saray, basically, who was part of the NXT brand, for those who don't really recall, she's the one who kind of did like the Clark Kent Superman type of gimmick, where she had this amulet around her neck, and she was kind of in the geeky role. And then when it was time to be challenged and her to fight, the amulet kind of just gave her the power to just become Saray and go out to the ring almost like a superhero type of gimmick. Well, she's going to be leaving the WWE. She has the last appearance was back in, I believe, August of last year. She has not been seen since in terms of the WWE, and I believe in the Performance Center as well. She has not really been around as much. Her contract is coming up soon, and she is not expected to renew. Not really a huge loss there, considering I don't believe they ever really knew what to do with her. Rey Mysterio is also getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. This was announced on Friday Night SmackDown last week. He is the first member of the Hall of Fame to get to be announced for this year. Rey Mysterio had also come out to the ring and was then accosted by his son Dominic yet again. So Dominic is trying to get under the skin of Rey Mysterio. This time Dominic had Judgment Day with him, really outnumbering Rey Mysterio, and then Legado del Fantasma came out to back up Rey Mysterio and fight the battle for him, where it became a six-man tag match and Judgment Day getting the win. You had kind of switching it over to Monday Night Raw just to kind of touch base a little bit more with the Dominic Rey Mysterio. Dominic actually came out on Monday Night Raw after Rey Mysterio yet again was coming out to tout the fact that he is now going to be a Hall of Famer. Dominic comes out and basically says, you should be in a Hall of Fame for runaway dads or, dads who weren't there or whatever it was. Basically, just kind of playing up the fact that, Rey Mysterio was always on the road, not at home, not there for Dominic when he needed him, and all this kind of BS. To really kind of push this feud even more, he's really pushing for Rey Mysterio to fight him at WrestleMania, and Rey's still refusing to do so, which eventually it's going to just come to blows. We also had the number one contender match for the Intercontinental Championship. I believe it was like a five-pack challenge or a six-pack challenge. I think it was five men who were involved in this match. Everyone was trying to get the win. Sheamus hits the bro kick on one superstar, pinning him. Drew McIntyre hit the Claymore on another to pin him. Two referees, two pins at the exact same time. We have two people that are declared the winner. So now Adam Pearce has said that he will make it where it is a one-man contender for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. So it will be Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre this Friday on SmackDown, where the winner will face Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. But it is expected to somehow still end up playing out where Drew McIntyre and Sheamus will both be challenging Gunther for the title. We also had a huge another instance of Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, and the Bloodline. Roman Reigns was again not there. You had the Usos out in the ring. They, basically start saying exactly why Jay had turned on Sami Zayn. Cody Rhodes comes out, and they start getting all over Cody. Cody looks like he's about to jump in the ring and go after them. As he does so, Sami Zayn jumps in the ring and a huge brawl between all four superstars breaks out. I would not be surprised to see Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn tagging up against the Usos, either this Friday on SmackDown or maybe on Raw or something. I don't know. But I see that coming in the future. That's how SmackDown ends. We go over to Monday Night Raw, where Finn Balor and Edge have a promo against each other. Edge basically just flat out says, "I've been through hell. You've made my life a living hell for this last year." So it proves justice that we finish this inside Hell in a Cell. So it is official. Finn Balor versus Edge inside Hell in a Cell. We also had Kevin Owens, who basically refused any help from Cody Rhodes or Sami Zayn, taking on Solo Sikoa in the main event. And Kevin Owens just gets utterly destroyed during this. I mean, he put up a good fight against the men, but Usos get involved and they just destroy Kevin Owens, just taking him out every time you turn around, leaving him laying in the ring as the Bloodline stands tall. Two other points of interest or note when it comes to Monday Night Raw, or Monday Night Raw SmackDown storylines. You had Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt, both completely not there this week. Bray Wyatt had no showed a Madison Square Garden show, and it was believed that he was, frustrated with creative, which is not the case. Apparently, he's dealing with some sort of issue right now, but it is still believed that this match will take place at WrestleMania. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's the rumors that are going around right now. Brock Lesnar and Omos. I really don't care about this match. I really don't. But a lot of people believe that Lesnar should be the one to job to Omos, that Lesnar's kind of coming towards the end of his career within the WWE, and that he should be putting over guys like Omos and, kind of building these kind of guys up. I don't know. For me, I just don't see that happening with Brock Lesnar. I think his ego is too big and he's just kind of going to go, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to put over him." I think he's going to somehow find a way to beat Omos, especially because Omos just like completely, over dwarfs. He's over, way over matching like Brock Lesnar in terms of size, and then just shoves Brock right over the top rope with ease. I don't see that happening. Moving on to the NXT portion of the program, I guess you could say. Not really much of interest here. I wasn't really a big fan of this week's NXT. They had a three team for a number one contendership for the women's tag team titles. Caden Carter and Katana Chance end up losing. Ivy and Tatum Paxley were in the match, and then it was Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Basically, Ivy and Tatum Paxley could have possibly won this, but Tatum Paxley ends up deciding to turn on her partner, leaves her laying. I mean, literally laying. She like ends up kicking her and then throwing her back into the ring to get destroyed by out by Fire and Isla. This is yet another tag team that they're splitting up. They have a women's tag team division, but they keep on splitting up the women's tag teams. Makes no sense whatsoever. Gigi Dolin ended up having a one-on-one match against Kiana James. It was a good, it was an okay match, but I mean, not for nothing. We kind of expected that Gigi would advance, especially considering Kiana James is going to be defending the tag team titles at the at Stand and Deliver. But Gigi Dolin advances into the ladder match. That's going to be at Stand and Deliver to crown a new women's champion. We don't know if whether or not Roxanne will be in that match or not. I suspect that she will be, though. Gigi Dolin looked okay, but she still does not look like she is a superstar. Like, she does not look great coming out of the whole feud with JC Jane. I really don't foresee this being a great situation to come about. I mean, Gigi, there wasn't much fan reaction. I mean, she actually had an entrance this week, and there was just nothing when it came to the fans. Like, I just didn't really see much of a fan reaction for her, which is very disconcerting. It's very concerning for me. I just feel like she's supposed to be coming out as the baby face from that whole feud with JC Jane, and I'm feeling like it's just not happening. And this is why I feel like she really is the Marty Jannetty of this situation. Finally, when it comes to NXT, we had a whole big thing when it comes to Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller, because Johnny Gargano had came back in last week and, usurped Grayson Waller in this. They had now Gargano come out to start the show, and someone comes in at ringside and basically shows a video that Grayson Waller is actually at Johnny Gargano's house. He waits in, kind of coming out. And Johnny Gargano, makes his way back home. He shows up, Candice LeRae and the baby are in the doorway, and here comes Grayson Waller attacking Johnny Gargano, leaving him laying, hits him with a rake, and then kind of does like a modified version of a curb stomp to Gargano on the ground, leaving him laying. I thought overall it was just okay. Out of all the home invasion angles that they've ever done in WWE, this was probably one of the least impactful ones, in my opinion. Next, we're switching gears over to AEW. And we start off with Maxwell Jacob Friedman's Re-Bar Mitzvah. That was just a weird one. They even wound up making note that you get bar mitzvahed when you're 13, and then you get rebar mitzvahed when you're like 83 or something like that. It was something that was like so stupid. But MJF was really just kind of playing it up and being stupid and being a jerk like he always is, and was getting the heat with the fans. And then the interesting piece of it all happens. Jungle Boy comes out, interrupts. And Sammy Guevara comes out. And then here comes Darby Allin. And this was a great moment. The four pillars, these are the guys that were the building blocks of the new regime, the new era of wrestlers, not, guys that were coming in from WWE or Impact Wrestling or New Japan. These are guys that are indie guys or homegrown talent, essentially, to make it a little bit more of an impact. These were the guys that they kind of dubbed as like the future of the company. And to see them all just kind of in the ring at once and all going toe to toe, so to speak, verbally against each other was just really inspiring. Not really inspiring, but it was just pure entertainment, especially when they were all just kind of getting on Maxwell's case. MJF does lob a couple of insults, at other guys, but Sammy Guevara went straight back. I mean, there was one comment about how, Sammy Guevara, Mr., I'm engaged and I'm going to find the next Mrs. Guevara in 6 months type of thing. It was really kind of like a cheap shot that he took, but at the same time, like, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, you said that, and then Guevara went right back at him. Max, weren't you the guy that had your fiance leave you? Like, it was just really kind of funny to wind up saying and to hear. It was just great. I loved it. Let's see. I mean, AEW last night was just incredible. You had the Blackpool Combat Club getting the win over Dark Order. It was and Hangman Adam Page in the six man or the trios match. Stu Grayson was actually back, so it was Stu Grayson, Evil Uno, and Hangman Adam Page. I mean, they knocked out at Hangman Adam Page with the ring bell towards the end of the match, leaving Evil Uno and Stu Grayson to fend for themselves. You actually had one point where you thought the Dark Order was going to get the win. After the match, I mean, they had Stu Grayson pass out to the rear naked choke, and then Moxley switches it and goes into the bulldog. Evil Uno makes the save, and then he gets triple teamed. Reynolds and Silver are the ones who make the save. And we're going to get back into all that piece in just a little bit because there's more to that at the end of the show. Jade Cargill has been teasing, they've been teasing that Jade was going to go after somebody who's from Canada since they were in Canada last night. She winds up taking on some jobber and destroying her within like a couple of minutes. But then here comes Taya Valkyrie, who's assigned with AEW, and it looks like she's going to be the next to really challenge Jade for the TBS championship. And I hope that they actually put the title on Taya Valkyrie. I think it would be a smart choice. Orange Cassidy gets the win over Jeff Jarrett. I actually thought this was a great match. You had Satnam Singh, you had Jay Lethal get involved, you had Sanjay Dutt get involved. I mean, like there was a lot that was going on in this match, and they managed to pull it off with Orange Cassidy getting the win. The Outcasts of Ruby Soho, Saraya, and Toni Storm come out to cut the promo, and it actually makes a little bit more sense where it was just like they came out, they wanted to make everything nice. It was supposed to be a great women's division, but you had people like Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter just pissing all over it, which then made them kind of jaded, and especially how Toni Storm was wins the title but is the interim champion, but Jamie Hayter, who cheats to win, is named the actual champion, and all the fans cheer her. So that kind of made her jaded, which kind of gave a little bit more understanding and reasoning for why they turned heel. At least now they finally give that reasoning. But Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker both come out to attack the Outcasts, get outnumbered, and then here comes Rio and Willow and Sky Blue, who end up making the save. Finally. So finally up, we had the trios match for the titles. Dark Order, not Dark Order, sorry. House of Black wind up getting the win over the Elite and the Jericho Appreciation Society, which was a phenomenal match. It was great. But what happened afterwards was what was more interesting. You had the Dark Order of Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and Hangman Adam Page fighting off the Blackpool Combat Club. Silver and Reynolds somehow got disconnected from everybody, and Hangman Adam Page was alone in the ring, getting surrounded by the Blackpool Combat Club. And right as they're about to attack, you had the Elite, come in, Young Bucks and Kenny Omega come in and stand behind Hangman Adam Page, almost reuniting the Elite. So it looks like we're going to be getting Blackpool Combat Club and Elite getting into a feud, which is going to be great. This is something I'm really looking forward to seeing, and this is the end of what I had for this week. So, that is going to end our show for today. I thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, this has been author Andrew Hess, and this has been The Tap.